Now, Irish Pickers is a new TV series that follows the Dublin antiques dealer and history enthusiast Ian Dowling as he hunts down and buys collectibles that tell stories of our country's past. It premieres on Blaze TV, that's on Sky Channel 164, at 9 p.m. this Thursday, the 19th of March. And Ian joins me now in studio. He's brought along some historical treasures from his own collection into the studio to show us today. You're very, very welcome to the History Show.
Thanks for having me, Moz.
And a pat on the back for the programme. I was sent a link to the programme on Vimeo, and I said I will discharge my obligation to my employer. I'll watch about 10 or 15 minutes and I'll probably doze off because I have no interest in antiques or collectibles. And after 10 or 15 minutes, sure, I'll watch a bit more. And then after, and I'll watch a bit more, and I found myself watching the whole thing. It's really, really good. It's beautifully shot. It looks really, really good. And the ensemble cast, very, very engaging. So congratulations. I mean, I want to watch the whole series now.
Thank you. That's good to hear. Thanks so much, Miles.
Okay, so you've brought in one pretty extraordinary and pretty macabre piece, which I'm looking at, and I'm getting the willies looking at it, because it's Kevin Barry's death mask. That is his actual death mask. Tell me about how you acquired that.
I bought this in an auction a couple of years ago, and couldn't quite believe my luck, really. I know it's quite a unique piece. I mean, like you say, it's quite a dark piece, but it's also a very important piece of Irish history. Kevin Barry was the youngest person ever to be executed on the island, and his death actually was one of the kind of pivotal moments, really, during the War of Independence, and not long after, people started looking towards the negotiations and the next step, I guess, was the treaty. So it was kind of, you know, I just couldn't believe it when I came across this. I mean, and yeah, I snapped it up. I think I paid about 3,000 for it.
And just tell me, this was in an auction in Kilkenny, and there was other Kevin Barry memorabilia which were being sold there. And I mean, they fetched astronomical prices, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, there's very little kind of original memorabilia that has come onto the market, except for the letter, his last letter to his his pals in UCD, just before he was executed. So you can imagine this is the centenary year of his death. 100 years ago, Halloween night, he was sitting in a damp cell writing a letter to his pals before he met his maker the following morning. And that letter achieved about, I think it was 87,000.
That's something you're never going to sell it.
Never going to sell it.
But you were saying to me at some point you may give it to a museum.
I'd like to give it to a museum at some point. Yeah, I'd like to keep it in the family. But I would never sell it. If I was going to leave the family, would go to a museum so other people could enjoy it.
Right, you're never going to make a living here. I'm sorry if you behave like that. Spend 3,000 and hand it over to a museum.
I know.
I get a sense that items from the War of Independence and the Revolution. Revolutionary periods particularly catch your attention. I presume that's at the moment they are, you know, people who are collectors are more interested in that kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, there's always like a good demand for War of Independence, Easter Rising, particularly Rising. I mean, like there was on the build up to the centenary, there was kind of a lot of excitement and a lot of stuff going through auction rooms, and that's all kind of died down quite a lot ever since 2016. After that auction, then everything kind of calmed down quite a bit. But anytime I get anything from the War of Independence or Rising or anything from that era, it sells really well, and I'm particularly interested in that kind of era myself, so you know, that kind of helps.
And I presume that you have identified people who are collectors, so you buy the stuff, you pay, I mean, this is one of the interesting things for me about the series, you pay a decent price to people who know, as you're buying it from them, that you are going to sell it on for a higher price, that you're out to make a profit from it. But you presumably have identified a number of people who, I know someone who'll be interested in that, so I know how much they will pay, so I know how much I'm going to pay.
Exactly. Like, I've been 11 years now full-time doing it, and you kind of, after that amount of time, you develop kind of contacts and clients who are interested in different things. And so you can kind of match items up when you're on the road with in your head with people that you that your own clients, people that you know.
Talking about the War of Independence, you brought a grenade. I hasten to add that it has been well disarmed. There's no explosive. Nothing's going to happen. It might.
I'm not going to blow up RT.
Break my ankle if it falls off the desk or something like that. But that's about the height of it. Tell us a little bit. What do you know about that?
It was found in Cork. There was the council actually found it. The army were called. It was deactivated, made safe, and then I got a call about it and asked, would I be interested? And I said, yeah. Now, a very unique piece. I mean, it's not something I've ever seen in Ireland, but I just had to snap it up, and
it's very heavy.
It is, isn't it?
Extraordinarily heavy. I mean, I cannot imagine. You'd need to have a good arm to be able to throw that any distance.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, just an interesting.
And you also had, I'm not sure if you brought it with you, but I think you have a pike head from the 1798 rebellion. Is that true?
Yeah, that was in the Wexford episode. We met a dealer who had a local farmer had gotten in touch with him, and he had found it on his land when he was doing some work, and he sold it to that dealer, and I bought it from the dealer. So it would have been used most likely by the United Irishmen during the 1798 rebellion. It's the pike head, so it would have been on top of a kind of like sitting on top of a long pole or stick, you know, and that was the kind of weapon of choice used by peasants in that rebellion.
Now, you also have these, they're called clocking boards. They're very small. You've got about, what, half a dozen of them, five of them here, in actual fact, I have in my hand. And they have numbers. They're just a few centimetres, rectangular pieces of wood with numbers on them. Explain what those are.
So I got them up in Belfast in the Belfast episode. We went to a dealer who specialised in kind of Titanic memorabilia, Harland and Wolff memorabilia. So these are clock-in boards used by Harland and Wolff staff. So they were kind of used. They had this system. Harland and Wolff had this system from about 1860 to about 1970, and really. When you arrived to Harland and Wolff for your day's work, you were given one of these boards, as they were called. And as you can see, like, there's a six digit, simple piece, small piece of wood with a six digit number on it. And
so you would slot this in when you clocked in.
That you'd basically be recorded. So your name and number would be recorded on entry, and you would keep this board with you throughout the day. And when you left, then that's when they calculate your pay. When you went to the toilet, you were recorded time wise with there, and also if you wanted any tools, you know, like a carpentry tool or whatever it might be, they recorded your number then also. So it was a hugely kind of a very important, you know, piece, and you know, I guess people who worked on Titanic could have actually used these. You know, so they're a very interesting piece of history, and I got these up in Belfast in that episode.
Which prompts my next question, which is a general question. You've 10 episodes, you tend to concentrate, so the one I saw was in Cork, and made Cork look, I mean, Cork is beautiful, but it made Cork look really, really beautiful, which is great from a tourist perspective. Fáilte Ireland should be buying the series and selling it. But where were the toughest negotiators?
Kerry, I'd say. Yeah, Kerry.
Well, they don't like dubs down there.
No,
so
they don't like some dub coming down trying to make a few bob out of them. And I guess the publican down in Kerry, James Curran in Dingle, was probably one of my favourites, you know, because I love all that kind of crackling, you know, some people don't, but I love a kind of tough, you know, tough haggling, tough negotiations.
Because the haggling takes place, not live, but it's obviously recorded, but it is as live. That is real haggling.
It's real, and it's my money, so it's absolutely genuine. So, I mean, every tenner matters to me, you know, and every tenner mattered to James Curran down in Dingle. And, you know, so he was actually a publican and an antique dealer. And a Kerry man, so that mix was just lethal.
That is an absolutely lethal mix. Anyway, look, it's a great series. I look forward to seeing the rest of it. The first episode, as I said, airs this Thursday, the 19th of March, on Blaze. So Sky Channel 164. If you don't have Sky, you can stream it on blaze.tv, or you can download the app. Ian's own site is rareirishstuff.com. Thanks very much for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Miles.
That's all we've got time for on this evening's programme. Details of all our items, as well as podcasts, are available on our website, rte.ie/historyshow. My thanks tonight to Damien Chanel on sound, and our researcher Liz Gillis. Our readers tonight were Mark Manning and Manus Halligan. The History Show is a Pegasus production for RTE. For now, for me, Miles Dungan, and producer Lorcan Clancy, goodbye and thanks for listening.
Follow us on Twitter at RTE History Show.